like you have questioned whether or not God was with you and whether or not he was actually faithful. And you have felt like you have floundered with that. But God said that you were in a place where when everything didn't seem like it, you hung on to him anyway. You kept saying, Lord, somehow you're going to get me there. And you kept hanging on and you kept hanging on. And the reason why was God was making you faithful, because there's such an abundance that's about to be poured out on you that you're not going to believe it. And he had to put you through the process so that you would choose him always. Always, but there's an abundance that's about to be poured on you that you cannot believe.
All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will of the goodness of God. Oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Great unknown, where feet may fail, and there I find you in the mystery, in oceans deep, my faith will stand, and I will call upon your name, and keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace. For I am yours, and you are mine. Oh, I am yours, you are mine. Your grace abounds, deepest waters, your sovereign hand will be my guide. Where feet may fail and fear surrounds me, you never fail, and you won't stop now. So I will call upon your name, keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace. For I am yours, and you are mine. Let me walk upon the waters, wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters, wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith would be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. And take me deeper than my feet could ever wander. And my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Above the waves, my soul will rest in your embrace, for I am yours, and you are mine. Stay, when you move, I'll move, I will follow. All your ways are good, all your ways are sure. I will trust in you alone, higher than my sight, high above my life. I will trust in you alone, and in you alone. Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. I will follow you. Who you love, I'll love. How you serve, I'll serve. If this life I lose, I will follow you. I will follow you. Light unto the world, light unto my life. I will trust for you alone. You're the one I see, knowing I will find all I need in you alone, in you alone. Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. I will follow you. Who you love, I'll love. How you serve, I'll serve. If this life I lose, I will follow you. I will follow you. In you there's life everlasting. In you there's freedom for my soul. In you there's joy unending joy. And I will follow. In you there's life everlasting. In you there's freedom for my soul. In you there's joy unending joy. And I will follow. Everlasting. In you there's freedom for my soul. In you there's joy unending joy. I will follow. Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. I will follow. Where you love, I'll love. While you serve, I'll serve. In this life I lose, I will follow you. Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. I will follow you. How you love, I'll love. How you serve, I'll serve. If this life I lose, I will follow you. I will follow.
I will follow you.
I will follow you. I will follow you. Yours. Our lives are yours. We will follow you. We will follow you. And we'll follow you because we love you. We'll follow you because you love us. Because you're good. We will follow you.
Nick, were there more of those inserts available? Right there. Okay, good. Yesterday, George was out running, which is a healthy thing to do once in a while for some people. And while he was running down the road, he heard a voice. He heard a voice say, "George." Now, it's interesting that you can tell what's by the sound what it is. It's a voice. And the other thing that he could tell was that the voice was from this direction over here, sort of behind him. There were other voices over here, but because of the way hearing works and memory and all that, he knew the voice was over here. He stopped running and he began to look for the voice. And he looked in this direction and nothing over there but a tree. And I noticed that he had moved from listening to looking, and then he looked some more. Because the tree was in the way, he looked some more, and he saw some color over there. And he looked a little bit closer, and he saw a person. And the person was calling him. It turns out the lady wanted prayer, and so you see the guy running by, you ought to ask him for prayer. And so he stopped for prayer. This morning I want to talk about how Mother Nature has done a phenomenal thing in developing our hearing and seeing. Just think about it. There's a vocal, a voice. It made some vibrations in the vocal cords. The vibrations in the vocal cords set into motion some vibrations in the air. The vibrations in the air got all the way over to George's ear and impacted both of his ears. The vibrations enter into the ear channel and impacts the, what do you call that, drum? What do you call that? Eardrum. Well, anyways, go ahead, George.
I was just going to say, there's like little hairs in there that actually...
Inside, there's the little hairs. And the little hairs are catching the vibrations. And the little hairs generate a little electrical impulse, and the little electrical impulse impacts the auditory part of the brain. And guess what? The brain catches the drift. That is a sound of a voice. And so the brain says to George, there's a voice calling, and that's the sound of your name. And the brain gets the message. It's a voice that's saying, George. And so he pauses. And then without a whole lot of thought, the brain says, this year got louder than this year. And so the voice must have been over here. He didn't think it all through, but the sound of it impacts a memory bank. The memory bank says, Mother Nature is really something, isn't she? I mean, if you think this could all happen accidentally, you really belong in Washington. So then, that's as low as a blow as you can get. Here we go. And so he turns and he's looking for the voice. And he steps over to the visual and he looks and he sees a tree. And there's something going on in his brain that's fantastic. He's smart enough to know that normally trees don't talk. And so he's not going to be impressed by the tree. He's looking for a person. And he doesn't see the person, and so then he moves over and looks around. And then he sees a person. And he makes this brilliant deduction that the voice must have come from that person, not the tree. Are you still with me? Mother Nature does a fantastic thing in George's head. He engaged his eyes. Now, his eyes aren't impacted a whole lot by the vibrations of noise. His eyes are impacted by reflected light. Light came into the area, the light hit whatever's over there, and the light comes back, and his eyes pick up this light. And that light, various colors and so on, go into his lens, and his lens focuses that on his retina. Do you want to see something?
Yeah, it creates an image onto the retina. Something, it creates an image and
on the
projects
retina.
That onto the retina, which is sensitive to the
light. So we get the image on the retina. And the retina then turns into electrical impulses. This is amazing. Mother Nature just let that happen. You know, it's incredible. Think about that. If you believe that, you know where you belong. In a nut house. But anyways, electrical impulses go to the what do you call it? Not the auditory, but the visual. Say it again. Optic nerve. Thank you. And the optic nerve impacts the brain, and the brain says, aha! I see a tree, and I see a little color over there, and I see the image of a woman. And inside his head, he sees a tree and the image of a woman. And it all happened. Incidentally. Accidentally. Isn't that incredible? I wish that you... I'm impressed by that. You ought to be impressed, too. And you know what? What you call that thing again? Optic nerve nudges the memory, nudge, nudge, nudge. And optic nerve says, nudge, nudge. And memory says, what do you want? He says, you've seen this image before, nudge, nudge. And brain says, oh yeah, that's a woman. I want you to notice this too. The woman was wearing a different dress than he'd ever seen before. Nudge, nudge, didn't matter. The dress doesn't count. We're looking for the face, the hairdo, the style, the form. Nudge, nudge, memory goes into work. Says, aha, I knew who that face belongs to. Are you with me? You understand this? This is incredible. And the memory says, you know this woman. She's a friend of yours. Stop and talk to her because she's calling your name. You catch it? Well, that's incredible. Don't you find that incredible? Or do you think that I'm being silly?
No, I think it's wisdom to know
Yeah, yes, this is good. You know, we spent a lot of money sending him to college to learn about things like that. A huge amount of money just to get him to learn that particular. Now, I'd like you to talk about your retina.
I start crying, but for quite a while, I've been looking through a vision that from top to bottom to about here is like looking through on my right eye a window that's been rained on, and it's all out of focus everywhere the water hit, okay? So one morning, one Saturday, I got up 2 weeks ago. I sat in front of my PC, thought I was going to do bookkeeping, and I looked, and I couldn't see it very well, and I said, oh, what's new? So I took my glasses off. I held them up to the light, and I said, yeah, dirty. Let's clean these glasses. And as I was cleaning the glasses, as I sprayed them and began to wipe them with a special cloth, I said to God, now I have not been praying for myself. And I said, God, would not it be wonderful if you could clear my vision as beautifully as I've cleaned these glasses? And he did. Praise God, he did. I went back and I could see what I was looking at. And it wasn't just the clean glasses. Thank you.
God has a way of taking care of things. I suspect that God was the one who put that into motion in the first place. Probably he's responsible for your retina. And, of course, the enemy's responsible for messing it up. Now, I want to talk to you this morning about how you were created. Jay Fry, you were created in the image of God. God did it. I'd like to also know, look at your index finger. Could you get that out in front of you, Jerry? Look at the fingerprint. Do you realize, Jerry Fry, that you have something right there that nobody else in the whole wide world has? It's a Jerry Fry fingerprint. Nobody else in the whole wide world has a Jerry Fry fingerprint. So you've got to be careful. You can't go killing people because you're right. Unless you got a twin. Even then, still you're in trouble. So your fingerprints are unique, but I want you to know, Jerry Fry, you're unique in every single cell of your body. The DNA, the entire body, every cell in your body has a Jerry Fry cell, which is uniquely Jerry Fry. You're unique in the fingerprints, unique in the DNA. And I want to say one other thing. You're a unique person, too. Get this. God created us uniquely different. Jerry Fry is supposed to be different from everybody else, whether it's his fingerprints or his DNA or his person or personhood or personality. Jerry Fry is different. Nancy, would you agree? Man, is he different. She said it. She agreed with me. Man, is he different. But we're all different. And here, look, I want you to get this. God created us different, or differently, to be different. He wants you different. He created you to be different. Estella, God created you to be uniquely Estella, not somebody else. Stop trying to be anybody else. Just be who you are. Now, I'm going to preach here in a minute. Stop dabbling and get into it. He created you, Jerry, uniquely Jerry, so that he could, let me tell you this, he wants a unique relationship with the unique Jerry. His desire is to relate to you in a unique manner because there's only one of you by his design. A lot of times we want to be like somebody else. We want to measure and fit into the mold, the popular mold, whatever that is. If God wanted us to do that, he'd have run us to the ticky-tacky factory and we'd all look alike. We'd all act alike.
Or
boring, particularly for God. The joy of God is that there's a unique Jerry Fry that he wants a unique and singular relationship with. But that opportunity was broken by sin. And sin breaks that relationship so it doesn't quite work. It's like the eye that Estella was talking about. The eye was meant to be seen, and it worked well. And then high blood pressure, and the retina began to get distorted. And because the retina was distorted, the signals were distorted. What's the name of that again? Optic nerve couldn't get the message, and the optic nerve goes to the memory bank, and the memory bank has to fill in an awful lot because it's not getting through. Now listen, sin has made a separation between us and God. And everyone has their own areas where that separation has occurred. And I just want to comment one more thing, and then we'll get into the message. There's the reality that, thank you, that there's a relationship that God wants to accomplish with Jerry Fry that fits only Jerry Fry, and without Jerry Fry, there's a missing element to the family of God, and God misses you, Jerry. To some degree, George, we want to get this. To some degree, we all have some areas where our spiritual optic nerve is blemished. And that area, wherever it is, in each of us, is an area where God wants to sort it through and put a healing and open that door so that the relationship can be 100% again. Not 80, not 70, not 30, but 100%. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. I want you to recognize something else. And God is not mad at Jerry. Aren't you glad, Jerry? So is Nance. Nancy's glad, too. I mean, lightning bolts, you know, have a way of hurting a lot of things and people. God's not mad at Jerry. Aren't you glad you came today, Jerry? So far, barely. But here's the thing. The enemy has messed up the receptors in Jerry. And so when Jerry fumbles the ball and blows it, God is not mad at Jerry. Why? Say it again. He knows who it was. He knows why. If there was a blind man who walked back and forth, he's blind and he's doing just fine, and he walks back and forth, and he knows it's 6 steps this way, and then 6 steps that way. Everything's hunky-dory. And he turns like this, and he's about to hear it. And Estella says, watch it. There's a podium in front of you. And the blind man turns to Estella and says, there is not. I've been back and forth here 25 times, and I haven't hit anything. There's no podium there. Now, would you be mad at the blind man? You would understand that the blind man was lacking the capacity to see the podium. If he had a problem at all, it was pride. He thinks he knows something he doesn't know. Wherever Jerry Fry fails, there's a blindness. Every time. And the reason God is not mad is because God understands Jerry Fry is blind, and he didn't see the podium. As a matter of fact, he believes things that are lies. And in believing the lie, he does the stupid thing that he does. Oh, you want to say something, Jerry? You want to defend yourself? Of course, Jerry's no worse than anybody else here. Isn't that right, Nance?
There's an issue in my life that I have been dealing with and praying about. And about 2 weeks ago, the Lord called me up short and said, the problem's not what you think it is. Now, I still don't know what the problem is in his terms. And I'm still waiting for the answer. But that's just like what George is saying. You know, you don't know what you don't know. And you can easily make assumptions by valid observations that are still wrong.
And that's a reality for all of us. Absolutely. When George heard the voice say, George, he didn't say, oh, just keep running because this is healthy and I'm doing the healthy thing and I'm just keep on going. He paused and he engaged a few other techniques to find out what's going on. And Jerry says, okay, the Lord has says this needs to be dealt with. And Jerry says, I don't know what it is yet. But I want you to know that Jerry is closer to finding it now than he was yesterday or the day before. If he'll pause and say, okay, Lord, show me what it is. And I think that's what he said. Is that basically what you said?
Yes. I basically recognize that I didn't have all the answers, didn't have the right diagnosis, and I'm still looking and waiting and hoping.
And how many of you think that maybe God would show it to him if he's looking, waiting, and looking, and hoping? Oh, no, he wouldn't. He'd just say, well, I'm mad at him because it's been 6 years and he hadn't listened yet. No. Guess who brought him to the place of saying, there's something that I need to hear here, here, here. Help me, Lord. And I believe that God is the one that brings us to that place. It brought Jerry to that place in order to accomplish what he wants. God wants to give Jerry insight, better sight, truth over the top of error, whatever the error is. So, Father, we just agree that whatever it is that you have for Jerry, he will hear, he will know, and he will walk out of darkness into light. He will see and walk in the name of Jesus. We believe that, we declare that, and we expect to hear the victory in the days ahead. And all the people said,
amen.
And whatever you do for Jerry, give me my own version of that, huh? Because you see, every one of us has areas that we are walking in blindness, and we're thinking, I know how to fix that, and we fix it 5 times and still not fixed. Have you ever done that? Think you fixed it 6 times and it's still not fixed? And you realize that I need a God touch here. I need God's fix. I need God to step in here and fix it.
I just want to point out real quick that one of the key ingredients to Jerry getting it right finally, okay, I have no idea what we're talking about, whatever that is, okay, is Jerry's humility to hear that he's not even asking the right question. He doesn't have the right answer, but he doesn't even necessarily know exactly what the right question is. And he's got the humility to say, all right, then I know where to find the answer. You're the answer. I'm waiting on you. I'm expecting from you. I put my hope in you intervening in my life. There's a place of such operational humility that enables continued incremental revelation that releases the life of God into Jerry. It's a beautiful thing.
You may know that the basic sin of Satan is pride. And you know that the scriptures say, what comes after a pride? A fall. There's... Because darkness is ruining the operation, and in comes the crash that's coming. I'm going to go to the sheets now, if you have your sheet. I'm not sure what the first thing is on your sheet, but I want to recognize that God's desire is to take and illuminate the dark places in our lives. He's not mad. His desire is to illuminate the dark places and release us to walk in truth. The heavens, heavens proclaim the glory of God. The skies display his craftsmanship. The eye does too, and so does the ear. Day after day, they continue to speak. Night after night, they make him known. They speak without a sound or word. Their voice is never heard. What was he saying? He's saying all of creation is speaking, but you can't hear it with these ears. There's a spiritual ear. You can't see it with these eyes, but there's a spiritual eye that sees that this is a God thing. Yet their message has gone throughout the earth and their words to all the world. God has made a home in the heavens for man. I don't know. Does your sheet say value quietness next? Quietly seek him. I'm just trying to get back to the notes. There is value in hearing from God. And we desperately need it. George's little run story required him. I mean, he could have kept running. But if he's going to get to the bottom of this, it's going to have to, first of all, stop running. Engage the hearing intellect in thinking, it's over here. Looking over here, trees don't talk. And he begins to look. And he sees enough color to think there's a person there. And he gets a little closer and he sees who it is. And that person is talking.
I'd like to point out that actually, when I heard her voice, you know, I'm running along doing my own thing. Okay, I'm you know, in my own little world, and I wasn't positive that I heard my name being called. I wasn't absolutely certain. It's it was like, oh, I think so. And in fact, I looked to the left, and there were some kids playing in a garage, you know, right there. But it was the wrong direction. That wasn't it. And so then I'm looking around, and I can't find her initially, right? But did I hear? I think I heard. I'm pretty sure I heard. I feel like that's even instructive. The reality is we're not always certain that we've heard something. And so there's a investigation despite the uncertainty.
And I'd like us to recognize that God is thrilled with your investigation. Supposing it's all wrong and you think, I think God is talking to me about fixing that problem, whatever it is, but he wants to fix that. And Jerry's saying, I think that's what he wants. And supposing God isn't talking about that at all. Supposing God hasn't said anything. Does that make God mad? He's saying, I'm glad my son is looking. He's seeking me. I'm going to give him something, even if it's different than what he thinks. God desires for us to seek his face. He's a speaking God. Seek him. Now, right underneath that value quietness, the inner voice, revelational thoughts, impressions, dreams, visions, trances, even angelic visitations. We almost, I'm just wanting to spread my sins around. I don't expect an angelic visitation because I haven't had one yet that I know of. Well, why not? Why not? What makes me think that just because, by the way, I'm now 78, that in 78 years I've never seen an angel, that God wouldn't necessarily sometime want to send me an angel? Besides Betsy. I mean, why not? So why would I shut off that opportunity? Or a vision? Or a visitation of some sort? Why would I want to shut off the opportunity for God to visit me in some manner that I haven't seen up until now. Why would I do that? Why would I not think, I want to hear from God in whatever way He desires to speak to me. I want to hear it. I want to get it. I want to pause long enough to get what it is that He's giving me. And I think that that becomes a reality for us. I think we should be a people who say, my receptors are broken, and because of that break, I'm missing out on a lot of what God has for me. I walk around in darkness, partly because I'm not willing to see the light. And I know this. God created me to uniquely display His glory. And part of my inability to display His glory is related to the fact that I'm not hearing or receiving from Him. I need to hear that. I need to receive. When I was thinking these thoughts, do you have the mic and the sheet? Yes. When I was thinking these thoughts, I thought of a scripture, and we're going to read it responsively this morning. But the scripture is Psalms 139. And I'd like you to ask the Lord to speak to you through Psalms 139 today. I mean, today. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Speak, Lord. And so I'm going to read the black and you read the blue. Okay, we'll be black and blue before we're done here. But I want you to hear. And we're going to read it slowly and try to let it sink in. O Lord, you have examined my heart and know everything about me. And Jerry, too. Isn't that true? He knows everything about me, and he knows everything about Jerry.
Oh, it's so cool.
He'd like to talk to us about us. You know when I sit down or stand up. You know my thoughts even when I'm far away. You see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do. You know what I'm going to say even before I say it, Lord. You go before me and follow after me. You place your hand of blessing on my head. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. Too great for me to understand. And I'd put a Selah in there. Just think about that. Just think about that. And now I'd like you to read the blue. And George, you want to lead us slowly. And let's just let it sink in as we read it. Go ahead.
I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I go down to the grave, you are there. If I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell by the farthest oceans, even there your hand will guide me and your strength will support me. I could ask the darkness to hide me and the light around me to become night, but even in darkness I cannot hide from you. To you, the night shines as bright as day. Darkness and light are the same to you.
Selah. Just think about it. There's no point in being so stupid as to pretend that I didn't do that or God doesn't know about that in my life. That's silliness. That is. Darkness and light are the same. He gets it. He sees what I'm going to say even before I know what I'm going to say. That knowledge I want you to hear this. That knowledge might make him mad at me. Obviously he's pure and he cannot look upon evil. And if he looks inside of me, what does he see? Enough junk to make him sick to his stomach. why is he not angry at me? Well, maybe you think he is. His love and his compassion and his understanding. And what is the significant understanding thing? Say it again. I'm blind. I'm believing lies that have been planted in me, and I don't even know that they're lies. That's called deception. I'm deceived, and I'm walking in this dark place in the deception of my heart. And that deception came from the deceiver, and I sucked it in its part of me. And I don't even know it's a part of me, but it's there, and it's doing its numbers on me. If he is enraged, he's enraged at the one who deceived me. He loves me. Betsy, did you want to comment on that? He also knew what he's done about it. He's done something about that. Is it okay if I pick on you some more? All right. If Jerry ever doesn't come to church, you'll know I just overdid it. But here's the deal. Let's suppose that Jerry gets so upset with one of the kids in the bus, and he has some real ringers, that when they finally he shoved him out the door at the latest stop, he spent the next 20 minutes cussing them royally inside the bus where nobody could hear but Jerry and God. What a horrible thing. Or maybe he just, in his heart, said, that Joe, what a scumbag he is. And God looks at this and he says, I love Joe. Joe is a unique creation that I have set my love upon. And you just dump junk all over him. I want you to understand that the heart of God does not condemn Jerry. The heart of God says, Jerry, you can't know how blind you are concerning Joe. Joe is a mess because he has been filled with trash, and he needs somebody to love him out of that. I love him like that. And Jerry, I want you to love him like that. That's the heart of God. And I would like to say that God has done something about Jerry's failure in that regard. Let's assume that he failed. And I wasn't planning to go here, but I want you to hear this. In Hebrews and in Peter, it is told to us that he has died once for all time for the sins of the world. Once for all time. It would be easy to see that he died for Adam's sin and Eve and Noah and Abraham, Isaac and Jacob and David and Judas and Peter. But once for all time, that's once up to here. The all time goes over to here. And so it's Abraham Lincoln and Jerry Fry. He died once for all time up to this moment in time where Jerry Fry is. Or does it go beyond? Does all time go beyond this time, all the way back there, up to here and stop? Or does all time go from there to there? Yeah. And so the sacrifice that Jesus made
is up to this point in time, but it doesn't stop there. It's for all time. The sacrifice for Jerry Fry covers what he's going to do tomorrow. And that isn't saying George just gave Jerry Fry to do live like the devil. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying that God has covered tomorrow for Jerry Fry. Aren't you glad?
Yes.
Well, I'm glad, because otherwise he's not going to make it. And neither am I. Neither are you. It's covered for all time. That's the beauty of God's mercy. He's covered it. I'm going to talk some more about Jerry in just a minute, okay? And we'll get back to that. Listen, we're going to start with verse 13 now. You made all...
You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God. They cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand. And when I wake up, you're still with me.
You know why the radical change? Why? He sees the work of the enemy and he is angered. And he says, look at what's happened. Everything, all this wonderful stuff has been challenged by the enemy. Darkness has come in and destroyed all this great and wonderful stuff. And he says, what he's saying is, I hate what has happened to us. I long to see this thing accomplished and pull us together. And then I think it's on the next verse, and my sheet goes over, but maybe on the bottom of your sheet. The next verses are these. Read it together out loud. Search me, O God, and know my heart.
Test me and know my anxious thoughts.
Point out anything in me that offends you.
And lead me along the path of everlasting life.
So he saw the ugly, he hated the ugly, and he immediately says, clean me up, O God. Purify me, O God. Don't let there be anything in me that would hinder the fulfillment of your plan for my unique and only life. Selah. Think about that. Any commentary? Or are we ready to move on? I'm inclined, George, to skip the John 3:16 and stuff. Or do you want to do that? Skip it, and we're going to skip 2 Thessalonians as well. Every sin, is this on your sheet? Every sin without exception is evidence of spiritual deception. Next line. Even if I choose to sin a sin in rebellion, I am deceived if I think that sinning is the better choice. Do you follow that? For example, if I know that I shouldn't rob banks, but because of the desperate situation that I'm in, I decide to rob the bank anyways, there's a deception there. It's not, well, you can say, minimally, it's not trusting God. Every sin has a deception underlying it. Every sin is the work of the enemy. Every sin that continues to work in me, it has the fingerprints of the enemy on it. And the God of all creation wants to remove that. I want you to hear this. He wants to remove that for our good. He wants to set Jerry free of whatever it is. And he's nudged Jerry enough so that Jerry says, okay, whatever it is, show me what it is, because I certainly haven't got it nailed. Show me what it is and do it, Lord. That is the heartbeat of God in this time of our lives. Every sin reveals a spiritually blind man stumbling. When we see someone in sin, we should see it as a blind man stumbling. If you were walking down the street and the guy had his little stick and you realize he's blind and the curb isn't there and he's walking right out into the street because there's no curb there, would you care or would you say, well, stupid guy, watch him get hit? You would rush to say, whoa, wait. Because he's a blind, he can't see. Wait. And as we, in our blindness, live our lives in stupidity, God isn't there with a hammer ready to drop it on us. He recognizes the blindness. And he says, wait, let me show you the truth. Let me show you the light. I think in yours it says, God is love, is next. And the next words, oh, I guess it says, people stumble into sin because they are blind and cannot see. God is love. The next one is, love desires to rescue the blind man before he falls. Love does not condemn because the man has been blinded by sin. I do need to go back and read the John 3:16 through 21 there, I guess. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son to die on the cross, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. God did not send his Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. He who believes in him is not judged, but he who does not believe has been judged already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. This is the judgment, that light has come into the world and that men loved darkness rather than light, for their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light, for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But he who practices the truth comes to the light
so that his deeds might be manifested as having been wrought in God. Jesus did not come to condemn, but to save. And I think that if we are to represent Jesus in our world, it will be to love, to forgive, to save, but not to condemn. If we're to carry the heart of Jesus into our world, it needs to be of the same nature. But part of understanding that has to do with recognizing that the person is blind. He's about ready to step into traffic and he doesn't know it. He will be hurt or killed or destroyed. He doesn't know it. And recognize this even in this passage. He may hate the light. He may say, "Leave me alone. I know what I'm doing." Because there is that in the very nature of deception to hate someone saying, "That's a problem." He may hate the light. He may reject the light. He may turn away from the light. But nevertheless, love would reach and expose him to the light.
I was talking with the people at the food pantry last Thursday night. And I was actually using the same text. And one of the curious things in this text is the word is actually judge. I know KJV says condemn, but the word is judge. And in the Greek, it's krino. God didn't send his son into the world even to judge. Not even to go all the way to condemnation, but even to judge. His purpose was to not judge. In fact, as we all know, the justice of God conspired with his mercy. The goodness of God and his holiness worked together to form a plan, the sacrifice of his son on the cross, that would enable God to justly judge and with generosity judge me, who deserved sin, but instead could justly be judged by the blood of Jesus, justly be judged as holy, as righteous. The beautiful thing is, God made a way so that he does not have to judge. He can give me, by faith, he can give me that which is due his son, because his son bore that which was due me. He didn't send his son into the world to judge the world, because that's not his heart. The son perfectly represented the father's heart in coming not to judge, but to save. And it's a beautiful thing when we understand the heart of the Father.
Father, give us your heart. Give us your heart, we pray. There is one comment that I want to make. If the forgiveness has been purchased from before Adam to the end of time, once for all, and that mercy is extended now, I'm covered, even what I do tomorrow is covered, then my question: why should I try to be good? Why not live like the devil? It's already covered.
Holy Spirit wants you to live like that.
Sure he does. But I already don't want to listen to him. Because what? All right, so there's an element of that because he wants to. But right now, I want to. You've never been there, huh?
Oh, no.
Oh, we got another one on that side of the room. Right now, I just want to, whatever it is. There are consequences, and there are two consequences. There's a consequence, and I want you to get this, because ultimately there's a deception underneath that. Right now, I feel like this, and I'm going to do it. There's two deceptions. One, it's better to do it than not do it. That's a lie. It's better to cuss than not to cuss. Do you follow what I'm saying? That's the lie. And so I express the lie anyways, because I'm going to be forgiven. All right, that's one. That's a deception. But the second deception, there is consequences. Well, maybe there's three. There are consequences to that. Let's say I robbed the bank. I may end up in jail. Let's say I hit the guy. He might hit me back. Okay, there are consequences to the negative. But then there's a third. There is a brokenness in our relationship. The warmth and the tenderness of my relationship with God. It's not that he's mad at me and he's just about to kick me out of the kingdom. That's covered. But I have put a strain on a relationship that is hurtful to him, and it's hurtful to me. The intimacy is jarred. My ability to trust him is hurt. There's a consequence that has spiritual dimensions that I can't even define. So there are consequences that are very difficult. And I want to just suggest, and going beyond, there are eternal consequences as well. I'm covered, the blood, covered. But the eternal consequences, I may not become all that he has designed me to become. He has called me all the way into some spiritual assignments that I won't be able to do because I have stopped short of it. It was his desire for me to get all the way over to here, but I stopped short of it. And I want you to hear this as well. If I have stopped here and I'm still alive, he's still calling me. He's still drawing me to go the distance. Because there are supernatural, spiritual, eternal rewards that come to those who walk with him. So I don't know, we ended up with two or three downers, but there are consequences that are detrimental. And the last part of that deception, the spiritual deception, is the eternal consequences. We could shrug and say, well, I got in. What difference does it make? I don't know. It just seems tragic. Yep, we got in. Maybe we got in by the skin of our teeth. And maybe we got in and we're assigned to rule over one small town instead of five cities. At my age, I'm so tired that I don't want to rule over five cities. One small town, maybe. But I want you to hear this. But we were designed for more. And there's a loss there. And our part of the deception is, oh, what difference does it make? That's a deception. Because whatever he has designed us for, the potential is there. And the rewards of that far outweigh. But I watch him. Whatever it was. Do you want to say something, George?
Psalm 51 was brought to my... And there's too much to insert here, but you know, purify me, make me hear joy and gladness. This is all part of the repentance. Hide your
restore
face from
the
my
joy
sin.
Of my salvation.
Create in me a clean heart. Renew a right steadfast, a spirit that will keep on going in the right direction. Don't cast me away from your presence. Don't take your Holy Spirit from me, please. This is the heart of David crying out in a place where he knows that he's been guilty.
Yeah.
Restore to me the joy. See, the truth is the salvation's there, but restore to me the joy of my salvation. It's just, there's too much to go into, but what an amazing, you know, reflection of, if you look at the opposite of each of those, that's the consequence of the deception. Each of those is the opposite, in a sense.
And I'd like us to, you know, I kind of beat up on it, but I want you to think of this. No matter how you have failed to enter into all that he has for you, the fact that you're still alive is an invitation to go further. I've got more for you. Will you walk with me? Will you seek my face and go?
And he's incredibly gracious in that. Not just, well, fine, I'll give you 10% of what you could have had or whatever.
No.
Amazingly good and incredibly gracious. And his purpose is complete salvation, complete restoring, complete redemption, the full pack. He's bigger and better and more gracious than we could imagine. That's a fact. He's just better than we can imagine.
He still wants us to get the full package.
And his heart is to empower and to pour in and to accomplish more. He's that good.
On your sheet, I guess yours might say, seek God. He is seeking you. He has a unique plan for your life, your unique life. Search me, O God. We're back to Psalm 139, the last verse. And know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you. Lead me. Lead me. Lead me in the paths of everlasting life. Deuteronomy chapter 30, way back when. Today, I have given you the choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. Now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice that you make. Oh, that you would choose life, so that you and your descendants might live by loving the Lord your God, by obeying his voice, by holding fast to him. For this is your life and the length of your days, that you may live in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. God has much more for you. Seek him and you will find. There is more to be found. You know, I appreciate Jerry sharing his heart here a few minutes ago. And Jerry basically said, there's an area that God wants to talk to me about, but I suspect that God has an area or areas in every one of our lives that he'd like to put his finger on. And it isn't like he's got a hammer there ready to beat you into the ground. He's got nail-scarred hands that wants to pick you up and take you out of the darkness, whatever it is, and into a better place where his light and his life reigns supreme. That is the message of salvation which the church has to carry to a dark and dying world. It's a message for us and our needs.
There's a scripture that says, as many as received him, he gave the right to be the sons of God. And that's true in the big picture. As many as receive him, yep, you're in. But it's also true in the incremental aspects of life, to every degree that Jerry's willing to receive him, he gives him the right to be a son of God in that arena. And sometimes it takes Jerry time and humility and a heart that keeps putting the draw, and a heart that says, cleanse me with hyssop again, and the heart that says, please, you know, I know that I'm confused about this, write me so that I can even hear the question, so that then you can give me the answer, so that I can maybe possibly understand and live in a different way. As many as receive him, he gave the right to be the Son of God. And to the degree that Jerry opens himself up to that same degree, God pours into Jerry that same childhood.
A little bit of history, and then we'll wrap it up. It's his fault. He said, cleanse me with hyssop. The history behind that
is hyssop is a branch, and the message was the priest would take the branch, break it off, cut it off, and dip it in the blood, the blood of the sacrifice, and then he would sprinkle the blood on all the utensils to make them holy. And so when you're talking about cleansing me with hyssop, it has to do with the sacrifice and the blood. And you might actually get tired of thinking about Christ died for this, his blood was shed for this. That's kind of gory. But when we say cleanse me with hyssop, we're talking about no longer the blood of sheep and goats, but the blood of Jesus Christ, the power that is in the blood of Christ to set us free from the power of the enemy. He has made it possible to walk away from it. We can walk away. You say, well, I've tried it for years and I can't. He can make it happen. That's the good news. He has made provision, not just to get us into heaven instead of hell, but he has given us provision to walk righteously in time. In Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for the reality of your love and great provision provided by love. Love reaches, has reached, is reaching. And wherever we are today, in our walk, and however badly we have failed in our past, we recognize that you, with open arms, call us to yourself. Love reaches, love promises, love declares salvation. And so today we open our hearts and embrace that salvation that is provided by the cross of Jesus Christ. We also recognize that the Lord Jesus Christ ever lives to make intercession for us. He has stepped into that role to intercede for Jerry. Boy, is Jerry lucky. Jesus intercedes for Jerry. And for George, for Susan, for every one of us, he ever lives to intercede for us. And so we join him in that intercession and say, amen and amen. Accomplish your purposes, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Bless you, everyone.